Coaches Seeing Red is your no-holds-barred, myth-busting podcast for life, executive, and business coaches. Join these lively conversations hosted by three coaches who've been around way too long to sugarcoat reality. Embrace ideas, challenge beliefs that help you stop, think, and grow your business.
Hello and welcome to this podcast, the Red Coaches Podcast. Actually, it's Seeing Red Coaching Podcast, isn't it? We are so excited to get this show on the road, and people have been asking us how it all happened. So here we go. I'm Emma Louise Elsie, and I've been in the coaching world since 2003. And those of you who know me most likely know me through the Coaching Tools Company. So it all started, with us meeting each other. So I met Ruby when she joined us as a guest author on the Coaching Tools Company blog back in 2015. And I don't remember how that came to be. Do you, Ruby?
No, I'm blown away by how long ago it was.
But we don't remember how it happened. I have a feeling you might have sent me an article and I liked it. I'm not sure. But since we got in touch in 2015, Ruby has written over 55 articles for us. And she has a big personality. And over the years, we've become friends, even though we've never actually met in person. So Dawn, you and I met through your organization, the IAPCNM. So correct me if I'm wrong, it's the International Association for Professional Coaches and Mentors.
Authority.
International Authority for Professional Coaches and Mentors. There you go. I'm glad I checked. I think we connected over a discussion about International Coaching Week. And I think you told me that it wasn't started by the ICF at all, but by
Jerry Udelson.
That was probably the first myth we ever busted together.
It was. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Hadn't thought of that. So the International Coaching Week, not started by the ICF, but by Jerry Udelson. Anyway, I think after our chat, I became an IAPCNM member. I did a webinar for you and we kept in regular contact. We really hit it off as well. Now, then how did the three of us come together? So you and Dawn already knew each other quite well. I know you've co-written a program and book, which I think is still in progress, but Ruby, how did you meet Dawn?
Yeah, so we've run the program, we've yet to finish the book. But I met Dawn through Noble Manhattan. She was my mentor for my final assignment for my coaching diploma in 2012. And then we became friends after that. We both have an awful lot to say about coaching. So I think we just hit it off. Even when we were working on the mentor assignments, Dawn was brutal in her feedback, but made me a much better coach overall. So it's great that we're friends after all that trauma.
Look how well you've done, Ruby. I remember about Ruby that she was different. There was something unique about her, and that was definitely confirmed when I saw your wedding dress, and I think that was about 2012 as well. You were stunning in red velvet, and I was completely blown away because it was quite vampish, and I thought, God, this woman's brave. It was a really beautiful wedding dress, so that's what stuck in my mind. And of course, I've always wanted to call you Ruby Red Shoes ever since, but never quite had the courage to do that, I suppose.
Well, now's a good time to start.
Yeah, carry on.
So how this whole podcast thing started was that Ruby had suggested that my coaching tools could be part of this premium tools package. It's a pretty boring story, actually. I could be part of a premium tools package for the IAPCNM members. And we all got on this Zoom call together and we got on like a house on fire.
We did. We put the world to rights, didn't we?
We did. And for some reason, we never did anything about that premium tools package. But we all ended up getting on our soapboxes talking about our concerns and challenges with the coaching profession. And I said, this would make a really good podcast. One of you, I don't remember who, said we could call it the Three Grumpy Coaches. Do you remember who said that?
I think it was me. It reminded me a comedian in the UK called Jenny. I can't remember. And she used to wear these funky glasses, a bit like you, Emma.
I remember her.
Yeah, and she went on the road with the three grumpy women who were in the menopause. But actually, you know, the more we talked about it, that we realized that we weren't just grumpy. We were absolutely passionate and positive as well. But yeah, that's how it started.
Yeah. And it was Ruby Emma Dawn. So that's the red coaches seeing red because we kind of get frustrated and angry about things. But Ruby Emma Dawn, red. So coaches seeing red. And we've got some great topics and guests planned already, including Dr. and Master Coach Marsha Reynolds, Jennifer Britton, who is a group team and virtual coaching expert. We've got Master Coaches Marion Franklin, who's written an amazing book that I think a lot of you have, and Fran Fisher, who is another Master Coach who is just, oh, I just love her, and more. So we can discover what gets these coaches on their soapboxes as well, plus business tips, but we'll, and coaching, how to grow your coaching skills. So we want to make it positive as well as having a grump about things. And if you guys have a great suggestion for someone to have on the show, you can email us at coachesseeingred@gmail.com. So that's coachesseeingred@gmail.com. So before we get started, a super quick intro from each of us. Ruby, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I started my business, Rock Your Fabulous Biz, in 2012, having left a head of HR role. So I was in HR for 11 years. And I then started attracting, even though I've only been in business for about a year, I started attracting loads of coaches. So I became a coach for coaches accidentally. Then years later, I got a bit, but I have a tendency to get bored. So I like to have variety. And I stupidly decided to rebrand as a visibility strategist. I say stupidly because I'm quite an introvert and it meant I had to be everywhere so that I could prove that I was visible. So it pushed all of the introvert buttons, shall I say. And I did that for a few years. And then I decided I actually wanted to work more in the leadership side, which kind of tied in back, led me back to HR type things that I'd done, spent a lot more time delivering training. And now I help business owners think like queens. So it's all about being a queen. So I've got a Queen of Business Mastermind. I'm setting up Queen of Business Academy so that people can step up their mindset and their business. So it's teaching all of the things around mindset and business. So things like pricing and niching and marketing and all of those kind of things. I love all things crafty, mostly making handmade cards and paper crafting. I could literally do it all day, every day. But unfortunately, it doesn't stimulate me intellectually, which is why I love running my business. I love being in nature, qigong and dancing. I'm constantly reading and collecting books. And I don't know which I love more. I think at the moment it's reading, but usually it's collecting. And I love coffee, preferably Wittard Vanilla, which is a company over in England. I moved up to Scotland with my hubby in 2018. And we have a little dog and some chickens. So we're living the country life. And loving it. How about you, Dawn?
Wow. Okay. So I'm one of those coaches who loves the life I'm living and living the life I love, which I know inspires a lot of other people, coaches and entrepreneurs generally. So I have a motorhome and I tend to split my time between rural France and cosmopolitan Marbella in Spain. So I suffer with sad. So I don't want to experience winters anymore. I'm a lifelong veggie, love nature, animals, dancing. I'm a Buddhist and I'm super creative. So I've always been passionate about the pay it forward philosophy. And there's a great book and movie of the same name. So volunteering and coaching is a really good fit for me because at the heart of it, it's all about being of service. So coaching also means I'm my own boss. I don't like authority at all. And it means I can work when and where I want. So have wheels, have internet, will travel. And it means I can work with who I want, such as these lovely ladies on the podcast. I'm also a director at the International Authority for Professional Coaching and Mentoring, affectionately known as the IAPCNM, which means I get to support coaches all around the world realize their dreams by turning their training investment into a business. So that's what I'm particularly passionate about, is supporting others, because I'm getting near to retirement age and I'm very keen to see the next generation of coaches be the best that they can possibly be. What about you, Emma?
That's lovely. Yeah. So everyone has already, they've already met me. I've been talking. I launched my life coaching business. My intro is boring now. I launched my life coaching business, Simplicity Life Coaching, in 2004. And I moved from England to Canada that same year. I moved to Canada in 2003 and then launched my business in 2004. And it was really challenging. Like, I moved country and started a life coaching business and I knew no one. So it was really hard going. And I launched the coaching tools company in 2009. And that was when I moved from Vancouver. I moved to a small island in between Vancouver and Vancouver Island, right off the west coast of Canada. And I moved in 2008 and I knew I wouldn't have any clients on Salt Spring Island. We only have a population of about 10,500 people. So it's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to make money? And I had all these coaching tools. So yeah. And then my latest passion is Fierce Kindness, which is a kindness-based personal development website for people who want to make a difference. And it really is my passion. It's how I overcame my inner critic and my anxiety. And that's really the, I don't know how many of you know the hero's journey, but the hero goes on a journey and goes through all these challenges. And then they come back to the real world with this elixir or this thing, this solution that they found that they want to share. And for me, that's Fierce Kindness. So I'm excited to grow that. And yeah, my background's actually in tech. I was a coder. Actually did programming, computer programming for a big bank. Oh, well, I did programming for Ford Motor Company and then team project and relationship management in a big bank and discovered coaching in 2003. So what I love most is reading, all things personal development. I can't get enough of that. Gardening, hiking, especially with our dog. I love going thrift storing, which in England we would call going around the charity shops. But in North America, it's called thrift storing and hanging out with friends. And I also do Muay Thai kickboxing, but I do that for exercise. I don't get in the ring or anything. That would be frightening. And I live in the Pacific Northwest of Canada, as I mentioned. But I am actually in the process of moving. So I'm moving to Victoria on Vancouver Island. But yes, so that's a lot of talking. Ruby, what do you think? Should we share the reasons we wanted to do this podcast?
Yeah, I think so.
I was excited to do this podcast with you guys because, you know, we all work from home. If you're a coach, you likely work from home or on Zoom. Before Zoom, we were on the phone. So Zoom is a bit more exciting. But yeah, I wanted some more fun and some human interaction. And we've become friends over the years. And actually with three of us, we have quite the little, we have quite the conversations. So, and it's fun just to talk about all those things that get on your nerves about the coaching world and what's going on in the coaching and in the world in general, and just come up with our own ideas and solutions. So I really enjoy that. And I'm also excited to, you know, share my passion of Fierce Kindness with a larger audience. So that's the boring reason for doing a podcast. But the fun reason is I just like hanging out with you guys and bitching about stuff.
Yeah, I agree. No matter how tired I am at the end, because we meet in the evenings. Obviously, it's the first thing in the morning for you, Emma Louise. But for me, it's at the end of the day. I'm tired. And no matter how I'm feeling after our calls, you know, with a couple of like-minded peeps where we've had a really positive moan and then create some solutions to those moans and we put the worlds to rights, I feel really energized and just blessed. I'm very grateful to spend that sort of safe time to be honest about what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and what upsets me, what fills me with joy about what's going on in the world, not just our industry, but the world in general. Mm-hmm. So I love spending time with you because, as you say, we all work from home. It can be quite isolating at times. And I just feel that this is a nice, safe space where we can have a good conversation. From a professional point of view, as the business director at the IAPCNM, I will do anything and everything to reach a wider audience of professional coaches to let them know that we're here and that we can support them become the best that they can be.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to follow that on the fun side, because obviously it's going to be the same as you two guys. But anyway, my personal reasons are, it's when you're in a business, when you're in, corporate or working outside of your home, you have those water cooler moments, as I call them. And, you know, people get excited about building up for Christmas, or they're talking about how their weekend went and all of those kind of things. And you lose that when you work from home. And some of those conversations are really interesting. And the ones that we have gets thinking, it's back to that intellectual stimulation again. It needs a much less formal name. But it is that for me. I need to have people to bounce ideas off. And I love that we have that connection together and we have those fun conversations. Some days the only person I speak to, I can't even call it a person, the only one I speak to is until my husband comes home. And this morning I was just like, oh, and I've got to tell you this and tell you that. And he's just almost rolling his eyes like, oh my goodness, it's not even 8 o'clock yet. I've blamed everything on me. So from a business perspective, I think we've all been in business a really long time. We've got a lot of knowledge and experience between us. So I think it's going to be some fun busting some myths, sharing some of our journey and things that we've learned from other people along the way as well. And, you know, just trying to inspire other people. When I was in my early days of coaching, I did a thing called Core Process. I don't know if either of you heard of it, but it's where you end up through a coaching session, you end up having two words that sum you up. And my two words are inspiring fabulousness. So that's kind of where my Rock Your Fabulous Biz name came from, because I thought, yes, it needs to be all about that. And rock, because the funky bit, go back to the red dress, there needs to be a bit of an edge to it. So for me, it's about inspiring fabulousness. I want to inspire people through our message. And obviously, I want to build my business through this as well. We need to think practically as well about these kind of things. And I don't do social media anymore. I made the decision a few years ago to come off social media. So I'll pin things on Pinterest, but that usually sends me down a rabbit hole of card making. and I don't, you know, I write. I'm doing a lot of writing. So this is a really nice way for me to spread my business message as well. And also it means that I'll be talking more. Maybe my husband won't have to put up with so much talking.
We all like to talk, don't we?
We do.
It's funny listening to, listening to all our reasons for doing the podcast. I know that we all want to make a difference. I know that we're all passionate about coaching and that we all want to help other coaches. I think, if I'm right in saying this, I'm gritting my teeth here, we all struggled with building our coaching businesses in the beginning, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean, this podcast is about honesty, so yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you go from being in, I went from being in the business world where I was a project manager and I had all these supports and training and an HR manager. And, you know, I was a bit of a hotshot. I was a young sort of female manager in this tech industry. And then suddenly when I became a life coach, I was a beginner again. And as a beginner, I knew no one. I didn't really know much about marketing and sales. I was nervous about my abilities. And so it was hard to really promote yourself when you're lacking confidence because you're a beginner and you know you're a beginner. And it was so hard. Those first couple years of building my business were terrifying and I wouldn't say depressing, but terrifying and just, can you think of a better word than depressing? It wasn't full on, but what was your experience the first couple years of a coaching business?
Who's going first? Dawn, you go first.
Okay. Well, I took the decision to do it in tandem of being a corporate director. So I didn't leave my job and become a coach until I'd already established my business.
That was very wise.
So I can't really, I mean, like a lot of us, we got into coaching by accident. I was a sales director, had a team, and got this leaflet about coaching. I thought, well, what's that? Went on the course and thought, oh, that's what I've been doing for years with my teams. And then I thought I could do this as a way out of the corporate world and do something for myself. So I think I was about 38 at the time. And I think I did about a year doing the two roles together. So I started out as, I think, a relationship coach. Why? I have no idea, because I was already divorced and I didn't have any success in that area at that time particularly. But I did relationship coaching, and I just seemed to be quite good at it. I got press coverage. I was on the radio. I think I was on Purple Radio, BBC Solent, and things like that. And then I started to think about this seriously and thought, no, my niche market really is business. So I started going down all the Federation of Small Businesses, Business Link, Women Who Lunch, you know, all those sorts of things. And gradually I became a business coach. And that all changed, actually. So I've been a coach for about probably maybe 18 months and solo for about 8 or 9 months when we decided quite spontaneously to move to France. And that meant I had to start all over again because there was no networking. I didn't speak French. So I thought, what am I passionate about? Health. So I trained in herbalism, naturopathy, Louise Hay Heal Your Life teacher training, Reiki, Nordic walking, you know, loads of things. And I opened a retreat. But I think,
oh wow, I didn't know that.
I was way ahead of my time. People didn't want vegetarian and vegan and juice retreats per se. So it was hard work. But I did get clients, and I did offer them writing retreats, juicing retreats, fasting retreats, but mainly we were coaching. But I didn't want to be a coach in the office. So if a client wanted to lose weight, then I was taking them out Nordic walking. If they wanted to learn about improving their health, I took them in the kitchen and we were doing raw and vegan food preparation. So I didn't have my clients feel like they were in the office over a desk being coached in the traditional manner. And that's one of the things I loved. And so my business grew from there to for me to be a holistic coach with a pick and mix menu for my clients.
So it sounds like you really found your own way of making coaching work for you, like really unique. Yeah.
And I think really that's diversified as well. I had to do lots of different things because I was not finding enough stuff to coach full time.
Yeah. Ruby, what about you? Was it hard in the beginning for you as a coach?
Yeah, so I kind of came out of coaching school, as I call it, and then thought, oh, okay, I've got to try and figure out how to do a whole business thing. I mean, I'd run an HR consultancy for about a year, but I was just really fortunate with that. I knew a lot of people, so I got business very easily. So when I actually came to run my coaching business, I'd basically rewind slightly. I'd hurt my back, which is why I ended up leaving my HR role. And then I thought, I couldn't work for about 18 months. And then I thought, what do I actually want to do? Do I want to do HR anymore? Or am I ready to do something different? I thought, I want to do more with people, more conversations with people. And I think that will challenge me rather than keep doing the same that I'm doing. And I decided to do group coaching sessions. So I'd heard about life clubs and I'd had a conversation with one of my friends, and she was saying to me, well, you know, what about doing groups? It would be a good way to get started. And I thought, yeah, actually, I'd really enjoy that. So I started running these group coaching sessions from a hotel. And through that, I started to get one-to-one clients. And then I became more and more over time, more and more went online. I then actually turned that into a training program. So I teach in the training program, I teach coaches how to do it and give them all the tools that they need to actually do the group coaching for themselves. And that was a really good way for me to grow my business. But I think when you start your own business, and all the way through, really, it's such a roller coaster of emotions. It is everything. You grow, you're challenged, you're frustrated, you're ready to throw the towel in, you then love it.
Yeah, I remember all of that.
All of these emotions of, why am I doing this? This is ridiculous, to, oh, I love what I'm doing. My clients are amazing. And it just swings from one extreme to the other. But the way you grow as a person is just incredible. You know, what I think, the way I think now in comparison to how I used to think, is just vastly different from when I started. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that I got stuck with was my niching. I couldn't figure out my niching. And then that kind of came to me. I don't know that coaching for coaches was necessarily the niche. But when I went into visibility specifically, I can't even say it tonight, went into visibility, that really changed everything. Because people really needed that support. They were struggling with imposter syndrome, all of those kind of things. So,
yeah. I never really had a niche. I knew who I served. So I knew I was serving professional women, kind of, I knew their age group. So I knew all that target market stuff from like 25 to 45, 50. It was women in law and accountancy and tech people with a few sort of teachers and things thrown in. So I knew where my target market hung out. I had to learn how to network, how to go downtown in Vancouver, you know, get myself dressed up as a life coach and just hang out with these people. And I remember finding it really excruciating to try and talk about what I did. I'm a life coach. And then, oh, what's that? And then I would just get tongue-tied and I'd try all these different elevator speeches. And it was excruciating. And I'm not an introvert, but I do not don't really enjoy standing up in front of people and talking. It doesn't sound like it right now. This is great because it's like radio. So, I forced myself to do workshops. I forced myself to do a lot of workshops, where in-person workshops, where I would get them all to fill out a feedback form at the end and sign up for my newsletter and see if they wanted to have a free session. I did a lot of free coaching sessions. But I did all those things that they recommend that you do. And it was just still so hard to get clients. And, you know, if I ever had three or five at once, that was like incredible. Like, how did that happen? You know, and then I'd be nervous of like, when's it all going to fall apart again? And it was, so it's interesting you talked about group coaching, Ruby, because I remember the first time when I really thought, oh, I could make a success of this coaching business was 2-3 years in, when I created a fun little coaching program. And it was, I've just updated the article I wrote about this on the Coaching Tools Company. And it was called Free Yourself and Get Happy. A little bit over the top, but Free Yourself and Get Happy. And it was like this 3-month coaching program. And I used all the coaching tools I'd created as kind of the basis for it, so that I felt like I had something to offer. And I got 12 clients in a couple of weeks. And maybe we should talk about this, because I know we're going to interview each other. So we're going to have this podcast where we interview each other and delve a little bit more deeply into the tips and things we have to offer. So I'm not going to go into how that happened there, but yeah, wow, we have so much to talk about here. I'm not sure where we go next, because I know we're trying to keep these, we didn't talk about this, but we're going to try and keep these podcasts to 25 minutes, high energy, fun, 25 minute podcast conversations where people learn something and we get to bitch about some issue or other in the coaching world. So what do you think, guys?
I think it's
I think that's a great place to leave it and pick up next time on interviewing ourselves and going a little bit deeper. We've shared a huge amount already, a lot of honesty, a lot of fun, passion. It's all there. Like I said, if we'd only recorded that very first conversation when we were discussing all of this, we now can unpick it by interviewing each other, and hopefully people find it stimulating, fun, and interesting, and they will come away with some inspiration and ideas and a sense of reality as well. That's the other thing, isn't it? That's one of the things I loved about your masterclass at the IAPCNM, Emma Louise, is, you know, nobody really is an overnight success. And if most coaches realized that in that first year, 2, maybe even 3 years, they've got to have something like a dozen different roles, because they are not going to be spending every minute coaching, which is obviously why they went into the coaching industry. It's all about building the business, waiting actively, laying those foundations,
learning how to get clients, learning what problems your ideal clients have, learning, you know, the whole niching thing, even just asking for the sale, like how to run a successful sample session, all of those things. I mean, you have to learn, and it's not something you can hand over to someone else. You can't have someone else run a sample session for you. And you can try, you can get help writing your copy. But in order to get help writing your marketing copy, you have to know who you serve and what their problems are, because your marketing person isn't going to figure out who your ideal client is for you. You have to tell them. There's so much to learn as a beginner client, as a beginner coach. And it's really challenging, because you end up doing it alone, stuck at home. often. So that's part of why we're doing this, right?
Yeah, learning to ask, Lemma Louise, I think is one of the hardest things.
Learning to ask for help.
Learning to ask for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to ask to be paid, because they're used to having a check put into their bank mysteriously at the end of every month. And now it's me PLC. They need to ask to be paid. They need to ask for testimonials. They need to ask for referrals. They need to ask for help, you know, all sorts of things. It might be a cultural thing, but there are some cultures that do not like asking for help.
The Brits.
Yeah, the Brits, exactly. And potentially women, you know, we're meant to be super women, but, you know, sometimes just let your guard down and be honest and ask for help.
Okay, well, I think that's probably about time to wrap it up, isn't it, guys?
Now that your brain's fired up, share how this coaching podcast inspired you. Tell us what you learned, what you'll do differently, and what myths you think we should bust next.